Welcome to the Fulham on the Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:31 British Summer Time. Today is September 4th. Today was a rather interesting day in stock markets, particularly notable for volatility on Wall Street. Perhaps the two most important things that are going on were, one, that as Wall Street opened, it fell rather sharply, and that was following the weak manufacturing news out of the US economy. But then markets turned around 4 o'clock London time and started to rally. And that was as people started to ask a simple question. Does weak manufacturing, does that make the chances of additional Fed stimulus more or less likely? And of course the answer is more likely. When we look at the performance of assets that give us an indication of whether or not various central banks are becoming active in the market, then something that I have repeatedly made reference to is the European version of the TED spread, and that continues to contract. And that's the spread between 3-month Euro LIBOR and 3-month German government bond yields. So that suggests that at the current spread of 20 basis points, that various banks can borrow money at a record low premium to what governments can. And the only reason for that is because the ECB is making limitless amounts of cash available via the discount window. So the banks are being recapitalized via the yield curve, via the discount window, and that is being reflected in the performance of the banking sector in Europe, which hit a new recovery high yesterday. And whereas the majority of European stock markets were rather weak in here today, it doesn't detract from the potential that there is going to be additional intervention by various central banks to support markets. That was also abundantly clear in the government bond markets in Europe today, where the Spanish government bond yield on the 2-year is down to 3%. And it does bear in mind that that short rate was trading well in excess of 7% only about 6 weeks ago. So we've seen a massive contraction in the rate at which Spain is being charged to borrow. And because both Spain and Italy have an ongoing funding requirement, they have to continue issuing bonds, then the rate at which they can borrow is a rather good barometer as to the level of activity that the ECB is engaging in. And whereas so far it has been primarily speculation as to whether the ECB is going to engage in a bond buying program or not, the very fact that they've been able to talk the market down to this extent is really very positive indeed. So when we take that lesson and we go and look at the rest of the markets, today was a reasonably weak day right across Asia, and particularly developed Asia, and in Europe. The Nikkei was down by about 0.1%, but this is the fourth or fifth consecutive day to the downside. The Hang Seng was down by about 0.2%. The A shares in mainland China were a little bit weaker, having been firm for the last 3 days. The ASX in Australia was down about 0.6%, and the banks index was a little bit weaker as well. The FTSE was down by 1.5%. It completely undid yesterday's rather positive tone. It suggests that we're going to see some additional consolidation here. But when one looks at the FTSE or the DAX, or indeed the IBEX or the MIB or the AEX or the OMX or the Swiss market, then it's a fairly common condition. They've all posted impressive rallies in August. They have quite a bit of room in which to consolidate and still hold the progression of higher reaction lows from May or June. And that is rather positive. A number of these markets have returned to the first area of potential resistance. And in the case of the S&P, that's represented by the March high, which is currently, which is in the region of 1425. And the market has been ranging between 1425 and 1400 for much of the last month. It has still got about 50 points in which to consolidate, and it would still hold to the progression of higher reaction lows. It is interesting that the market paired its decline from about 4 o'clock onwards and finished out the day relatively unchanged. If the performance on stock markets was rather mixed, then precious metals were really firm throughout the day, and silver finished out the day at $32.41, up 96 cents. Platinum was stronger by $30. Palladium was stronger by $12. And gold was reasonably quiet, and it finished out the day up $3.30. It's closing in on the $1,700 area, and nothing has occurred to suggest that this is going to represent anything other than a temporary pause within gold's significant potential to continue to advance here. So the precious metal market remains perhaps the most undervalued of the potential risk assets that one could participate in. And industrial metals represent the other one. Industrial metals were reasonably quiet in here today. They have all lost downward momentum. A number are back into potential areas of support, and we are starting to see that some, particularly tin, are beginning to break their downtrends and starting to find support at progressively higher levels, and that is really quite positive. There has been an incredible amount of bearish sentiment expressed towards the mining and the industrial sectors. And the industrial sector in particular has rallied rather impressively over the last month. The industrial metal miners have so far not been able to rally to the same extent, but if we're not going to have an Armageddon-type situation in the global economy, then they do represent value in these areas, and a share like Rio Tinto, which is right at the bottom of its range, then it represents a low-risk entry point, because if it fails in this area, then it's going to be quite obvious very soon, whereas the potential upside far outweighs where one's stop may have to be. So there is certainly potential opportunities in the industrial metal complex, and particularly if we do start to see these metals breaking their medium-term downtrends. In the grain and bean complex, soybeans pushed onto new high ground, and it's been a generally firm environment for the entire complex. It remains extraordinarily weather-dependent. Given the fact that weather is the primary variable in what's going to happen with pricing, if we do see any substantial change in the weather in the USA, then it is going to have a profound effect on prices. And considering the fact that we are at very elevated levels, then when these markets eventually do peak, they're likely to do so in a particularly dynamic fashion. US Treasuries, following an incredible advance over the last 13 sessions, are down very, very slightly. They continue to hold here in the region of 151. The peak is in the region of 153. It's a little bit overbought in the short term, but clear downward dynamics would really be required to suggest that this is anything other than a pause. If we're seeing that there is increased investor interest in peripheral government bond debt in the Eurozone, then the corollary is that sovereign bonds generally are likely to attract greater interest. And that goes equally for US treasuries as people continue to look at this as a momentum trade, which has a quasi-government guarantee. So we remain within a very interesting environment. And as long as we continue to see that additional liquidity is being pumped into this market, then I think that we would have to continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside to nascent rallies on risk assets. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening. I'll be traveling tomorrow. I have a number of meetings in London, and I'll be giving that talk at the LSE tomorrow evening. So I may be recording the audio a bit earlier than normal, perhaps in the afternoon tomorrow. But thank you for your time, and all the best to all of you.